This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Grin. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. What do you do on Sunday? Is it a day of rest, of reflection? Is it a day for worship, a day for watching or playing a sport, a day for a big family meal? Do you look forward to it? Do you dread it? We're going to talk about Sunday in this portion of the program. Our guest is historian Craig Harleen. He is the author of Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl. At the outset of the book, Harleen tells us about a recent Super Bowl Sunday, watching the halftime show with his grandmother, both of them wondering, just exactly how did we get here? And Harleen is struck as the entertainment unfolds by the Sunday part of the equation. He wonders to himself, how did that happen? Super Bowl Sunday. In parts of the Western world, Sunday causes some anxiety. One American high school football player told Craig Harleen, our guest, he'd never seen the Super Bowl because his family, on religious grounds, keeps the television turned off on Sundays. Meanwhile, in other places, Sunday is the best day of the week, a time for good times with friends, outings, and special treats. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon. Join the discussion with a telephone call. You can join us with your questions and comments. What are your thoughts about Sunday? How do you spend the day? How did you spend it in past years growing up? We'll talk about Sunday from millennia ago to the recent past and the present, and we look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to your telephone calls. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Our guest, Craig Harleen, is a professor of history at Brigham Young University. His previous books include A Bishop's Tale, The Burdens of Sister Margaret, and Miracles of the Jesus Oak. Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl, is published by Doubleday. 333-9455, 800-222-9455, if you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon. Craig Harleen, welcome to the program. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Was it Super Bowl Sunday that led you to think about writing a history of Sunday?
That wasn't the only Sunday. I mean, I'd had a lot of Sundays when I was a kid as well, but I think it all culminated with the event that I described there in the book. But growing up, I was often frustrated on Sunday trying to figure out what I should be doing.
How did you spend your Sundays as a boy?
Well, I try to explain in the book the different traditions that have affected Americans and how they follow Sunday, and I think I grew up in what was essentially a Puritan tradition, which is a restrained sort of Sunday. And so that meant a good deal of church, a rather sober day. My parents were pretty reasonable, though, because my brothers and sisters and I, we all love sports, and so, you know, we'd go out and play a little bit. But sometimes I felt guilty about it.
Has the ways you spend your Sundays these days changed over time? How do you spend Sunday today?
Well, I'm a lot older, so I don't mind sitting around, I suppose, on Sunday. But I think what happened to me was when I went to France and Belgium and I saw how much they loved Sunday, and this was as a young adult, I think this kind of influenced me to think myself, you know, how would I like to spend my Sundays? And I don't think they did so many things that were radically different from what I saw here in America, but it was just the sense of there was no question that they should be doing these things. There was no sense of guilt or whatever, and that's what I found refreshing. So I suppose that's the main thing I've changed in my Sundays, not so much what I do, but that I regard it more as a day of joy and not so much a day of restraint.
Yeah. The final chapter of the book is titled Sunday All Mixed Up, and I think that describes Sunday for me when I was growing up. It was the 60s and the 70s. It was then all mixed up, and I think it is today. Why did you end the book in the 1950s? Why the 1950s?
Well, I grew up the same time you did, and the 1950s, I suppose, when I first became conscious of Sundays, the publisher wanted a chapter in the book on American history, and most of my studies to this point have been about European history. So I thought I'm going to pick a time in American history that I had some familiarity with, and again, I wanted to see how did that Sunday get to be where it was. So I think that's why I decided to pick the 50s, and then the all mixed up, I think, refers to the mixing of traditions in the U.S. I define basically two traditions, the English Scottish tradition on the one side, and then the continental European tradition on the other, and those are two broad traditions, but both of them were present in the U.S., and that's what the all mixed up refers to, I think.
Yeah. In the 1950s, there was a television program on called Wide, Wide World, and you describe this in this program in the chapter, A Sunday All Mixed Up. And there was an episode of the program devoted to how America worshipped. What did viewers see on that program?
Well, compared to modern programs, you'd say that this one was itself very restrained, a kind of spooky voice in the background with very canned scenes moving across the country. And they just showed a variety of religious services to begin with. But they also showed a lot of other activities, and there again is that all mixed up theme. Not only were there a lot of religious services, there was sports car racing, there were athletic events, they showed the Air Force taking off in their jets. I mean, there were all kinds of things going on in American Sunday, the Dallas Fair or the big Texas Fair. There was a revolutionary thing about that show was how they had so many cameras going, trying to show so many things that were going on that day in the U.S.
And one of the things you say here about this program was that one of the overall messages of it was that America was joined together in an American religion, even though there are different creeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you could call it a civic religion, mm-hmm. and yet it's not quite a civic religion because it was infused so much with especially Christian themes, but also Jewish and other things. But in the 50s, the major traditions were clearly the Jewish and Christian traditions, that at least in public. So those had a lot to do with even American civic religion. Singing the national anthem at a baseball game was not just a patriotic act, that they had these religious overtones as well. And so it was kind of hard to separate Christianity and patriotism in the U.S., I think, at that time.
Yeah. Does Sunday All Mixed Up describe where we are today?
Oh, I think so. The American tradition has always has been that at least since the late 19th century, and I think it continues to be that. You can find any number of activities. The interesting thing I tried to point out about the American Sunday compared to a lot of European Sundays is that Americans tended to go to church in greater numbers than European countries, but they also tended to have more activities. Usually you have one or the other. And there tended to be both in American society.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go back now in time, way back. And maybe you would talk with us a little bit about the origins of Sunday.
Right. Oftentimes when you think of Sunday nowadays, if you've been raised in the West, if you've been raised in a religious tradition, the word has a religious connotation. But when you think about its origin, it's obviously a pagan word. It has to do with the planetary week. Sunday was one of the 7 days of the planetary week organized originally around the seven, what were perceived to be seven planets. So that's where it comes from. Other traditions, especially the Jewish tradition of the Sabbath, would eventually have an influence on Sunday, but it was not parallel with Sunday, and it was not the same thing.
What is known about how the ancient pagans thought about and or spent their Sunday?
Well, in the pagan week, every day is roughly equal, and therefore each day would be celebrated with different ceremonies. But one day didn't necessarily stand out. And this is, again, the pagan week develops around the 3rd century B.C. When the Romans, who also followed the pagan week, were also heavily influenced by Judaism, and the idea that one day of the week stood out, was superior to others, that was really a Jewish invention, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, Romans also celebrated the, not for the same reason as Jews, but they also took the Jewish Sabbath off, which was equivalent to the Roman Saturday. the Christians were the ones who made Sunday their special day of worship, and they didn't call it Sunday, they called it the Lord's Day.
Mm.
And so if you look at any Romance language, you'll see that almost all of them refer to Saturday with some form of Sabbath, and they refer to Sunday with some form of the Lord's Day, because those were the languages, of course, that evolved from Latin, from the ancient Mediterranean around the Roman Empire.
Has there been a sharing, have there been borrowings in Sunday traditions across religions and cultures across time?
Well, certainly. I mean, to begin with, the Christians borrowed from the Jews. Many early Christians had converted from Judaism, and they celebrated, until about the 4th century, they celebrated both the Sabbath and the Christian Lord's Day. And it wasn't surprising that when you looked at the first evidences of Lord's Day worship in the 2nd century A.D., that many of the elements came right from Judaism. Some of the prayers came word for word, many of the songs word for word, right from the Psalms themselves. So that was a major influence. And then as Christianity developed and as more traditions of Christianity emerged after the Reformation, certainly the religions influenced one another, and they had similarities and they had differences as well.
Hmm. When did the idea of not laboring on Sunday emerge?
That's a really good question, because it has a lot to do with the character of Sunday. When Sunday first came about with those ancient Christians, Sunday was not a day of rest. It was a regular work day in the Roman Empire. And that was true until almost the year 400. In fact, Christians tended to regard the Jewish practice of resting on the Sabbath as something that was an inferior practice, because to a Christian, every day was holy, and they didn't need these ceremonies, which they considered rest to be. But by about 400, Christians began thinking that they too wanted to celebrate their Sunday as not just another work day with a couple of hours of worship, but as an entire day devoted to their God, just as the Jews devoted their entire Sabbath to the Jewish God. So that's how that began to emerge, and Christianity became the official religion of the empire. A series of emperors decreed that Sunday was the official holy day for Christians, and then there began to be whole debates about whether Christians should rest literally, whether rest meant simply rest from sin, and so on. Because, again, there's a lot of anxiety about Judaism. They imitated Judaism, but they often denounced it at the same time.
Mm. Anxiety and debate,
yeah.
There from the beginning.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, historian Craig Harleen. He is the author most recently of Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon with questions, comments, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. The book offers us a look at, in essence, I think you could say, a week of Sundays. There are seven chapters, seven Sundays through Western history, beginning with the ancient Mediterranean world, and we talked a little bit about that now. Maybe we could go ahead and move on to medieval Catholic Europe. What was Sunday like in the 13th century?
Sunday, by that time, had turned into, I mean, the essential characteristics would be recognizable to a modern person. That is, Sunday was now a special day of the week, just like the Jewish Sabbath was the special day of the Jewish week. Sunday was superior to other days. Sunday included rules about rest and work. Work was mostly prohibited, but there were all kinds of exceptions, which only made work inevitable, it seems to me. So there still was some work that went on, especially in agricultural society, which Europe was by that time. Almost everybody was involved somehow in agriculture. And, of course, those rhythms of agriculture make it very difficult to work solely 6 days a week, mm-hmm. and then say, I'm going to take a day off. But besides work, there was also a good deal of recreation on Sunday. The church had legislated, because the church was an official religion of any state that existed. The church had legislated various rules which included recreation, and it acknowledged that people needed recreation after working so long during the week. It also gave people holy days besides Sunday, so various feast days that were added to the calendar. So there's a lot of recreation, probably a good deal of work, and certainly a good deal of church as well. There was usually a morning service that might last a couple of hours, and then an afternoon service, usually not as well attended, although we don't know that with great precision because we don't have statistics, but that's the impression that the documents leave.
Yeah. The rules that were around back then, were they enforced? How?
Yeah, I mean, they were enforced as rules of the state, and they could be enforced, let's put it that way. They were enforced irregularly. The fact that decrees are repeated over and over again is always a sign that obviously something's not working. You can say that about modern laws as well. They're repeated over and over again. That means that they're continually violated. So there are always complaints that people were recreating too much, for instance, and working too much.
Hmm. You're up in the Reformation. How did the Reformation change Sunday?
Well, with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, Sunday became something of a way to distinguish between Protestants and Catholics. You could say that about most doctrines or practices in Christianity at the time. A religion tries to define itself. Usually it does that in opposition or in comparison to other religions. So Protestants at first, some of them believed that they should keep a stricter Sunday, because if they didn't, then what was the point of becoming Protestant? You might as well just stay Catholic, right? They had this old lax Sunday. That was the Protestant view. Not every Protestant thought that way. Martin Luther didn't believe that Sunday should be a special day. He thought that was something, the idea that Sunday should be a Sabbath, to him that was an idea from the Jews, and he often denounced Judaism, and so he thought that had nothing to do with Christianity. But then there were others, such as Calvin, or especially the Puritans, who Calvin believed that it didn't matter which day the Sabbath was held, but he believed that the Sabbath was an eternal ideal. And the Puritans believed that Sunday definitely was the Sabbath, and so they had a lot to do with shaping the Sabbath.
We have a listener now who would like to talk with us, and that listener waiting for us in Eureka on line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. An interesting discussion. My question is, was the change from Saturday to Sunday more to do with, say, a decree by a Roman emperor such as Constantine, who I believe Christianized the state, or a decision that may have been made by one of the early church councils?
Well, from the very beginning, Christians started worshiping on Sunday partly as a matter of convenience, because it immediately followed the Jewish Sabbath, where many of them also worshiped. So I think Christians didn't need a decree to decide that they were going to start gathering together on Sunday. As far as Sunday becoming a full day of rest, that was issued in a decree by Constantine, but to Christians, just kind of solidified their sense of themselves, that their day deserved to be something separate. So I'm not sure you can say it simply came from the top down.
I see what you mean. But it was it had the force of the backing,
yes,
of the state when Constantine became the emperor.
Right. He made the first rule around 320 in that regard, but it was by the end of the 4th century when it was when Christianity was the official religion of the empire, that it was really more the case.
Yes. Okay. And I guess I was thinking it may have been I guess it was very widely held from the earliest part of the Christian church, wasn't it?
Oh, yes,
that
yes.
Sunday was the day of worship. Okay, thank
you
very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome. Other calls are invited. Other questions, comments. Join us with a telephone call, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Was there a particular time that you found most fascinating, most interesting in your study, in your research?
I think the chapter I most liked researching and writing was the chapter on France. And I think that's because where I first experienced such a different Sunday from the one I'd grown up with. And I found it quite refreshing and really a happy Sunday, which I think was the original purpose. Was to make it a happy day.
That was 19th century France.
That was, yeah. So I set that chapter in the 19th century. But I think I enjoyed that, maybe because that was the first chapter I really studied since I was in Paris at the time. And I worried that I wasn't going to find enough material, but of course there was far too much material that I could use. And there were some wonderful sources about how people spent their Sundays.
Well, give us an example.
Well, one of my favorites was a book written by a fellow named Louis Morin, who wrote the title was Parisian Sundays, and he and his semi-fictional partner went out for 26 different Sundays among the little people, because they were very kind of snooty types, but they went out for 26 Sundays and recorded their adventures of what it was like, and so you get a really wide range of these sorts of activities that people engaged in. The accounts are partly fictional, they're very humorous and no doubt exaggerated, but I think they reflect very well the kinds of things that people wanted to do and the kinds of ideals they had, especially the great expectations they had of Sunday. This was the day where people put all their hopes, and therefore when things went wrong, it was just disastrous. And yet, it was kind of like golf. If you hit one good shot, you know, it's enough to keep you going. If you have one good Sunday, that's enough to keep your expectations up, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's a writer that you quote, I think it's very early in the book, about Sunday, and I believe he was a French fellow, and he said, heaven would be a month of Sundays.
The Belgian Ernest Klaus.
Belgian.
Because the Belgians also love Sunday, and he wrote about his childhood recollections. And that kind of brings up the question of age. I think young people in France and Belgium, at least, tended to really enjoy Sundays. In countries like England, I think they enjoyed it less. I think there's also a question of gender. Women tended to enjoy Sundays less because it meant just as much work for them on other days. So some of the generalizations I make are just that. I mean, you can find wide ranges of experience in different places among different classes and genders.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener in Terre Haute, Indiana, line one. Oops. Well, maybe that individual will give us a call back. 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-9455. The toll-free number, 800-222-WILL. Well, give us some concrete examples of how people in 19th century France, 19th century Belgium, what their Sunday would have looked like. What they got up out of bed, what did they do?
Right. The Parisian Sunday that I describe, or the French Sunday, is really Parisian because Paris set the tone, I think, for the rest of the country. Even though France was mostly rural, Paris just dominated culturally so heavily that when you think of a French Sunday, you think of a Parisian Sunday. And in Paris, it tended to be walks down the boulevard or going to the cafe. There were dances as well. There was always a restaurant. Sunday is the great day for going to the restaurant with the family in France. There were pleasure excursions to the coast as well. Then there are some very humorous scenes, I think, that Louis Morin describes there. But I also try to describe that not everybody experienced that. For all the people who were out enjoying their Sundays, there were a lot of others in France who were poor, couldn't afford any of these activities, and who probably were even working on Sunday, as France had a very unregulated sort of labor.
Yeah.
Situation. So again, you have this whole variety of things that people were doing in Paris. Belgium, on the other hand, was the most densely populated country in Europe, but culturally it was rural. And that was because most people did not move to cities. They continued to live in small towns. Because it was so small, they could commute to their new factory jobs with industrialization. And so their ideals and their Sundays tended to be rural. And this tended to be more about dove racing, fishing, of course, going to the village mass, always the cafe, but not necessarily the fancy cafes of a Parisian boulevard or something like this. So the Belgian Sunday was much more rural, but people, I think, loved it just as much. Again, except maybe for many of the mothers who I think didn't like it that day.
Yeah. You know, even for my mother, Sunday was a pretty tough day.
Yeah.
She had to get everybody ready for church.
Yeah.
There was brunch to be made. There was dinner to be made. It was a long haul.
Well, and people expect, right, the Sunday dinner is an institution, and who's going to make the Sunday dinner? It's usually the woman of the house.
And for her, it started on Saturday, really.
Yeah. Exactly. And some religions make the effort to say, you know, you really should prepare all the meals on Saturday so you're not cooking on Sunday and so on. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, on women on Sundays. I don't know how much that's changed. I took my research, you know, only up to the 60s or so. But anyway.
Let's talk with some listeners now. We've got Terre Haute back on line one. Good afternoon.
Yes, really enjoying the conversation. Got a quick question. I realize this is a more modern question. What's the origin of the phrase, the blue laws? I've always wondered that. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Some people believe it was because that was the color of the paper that the laws were printed on, whether coincidentally or purposefully, I don't know. There's lots of debate about it, and I don't know that anyone will ever know the truth. Other people think it was because of the tone of the laws, thus blue. I mean, even then, blue had this connotation that it wasn't exactly the greatest and happiest thing in the world. So those are the two explanations that I was able to find.
Okay, let's talk with another listener, a listener on line four. In Effingham, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Very interesting. I appreciate the discussion along the timeline. I don't know if this is going to fit in, but going to South Side of Chicago in the 50s and the 60s, I can always recollect a TV program, and it was called A Picture for a Sunday Afternoon. Hmm. And I think that's going back to when I think we had all of two or three stations. So a little bit more of an innocent time, but I do remember a couple of things. Of course, church was a big part of it, and then on the South Side, they started to have Mass on Saturday, and that kind of threw everybody's clock off there a little bit. But I remember, curious enough, attending to the graves for some reason when I was a small boy growing up in the 50s and 60s. I would go with my aunts and uncle to tend to the graves, and then, of course, go out to dinner, lunch, dinner. If I didn't do that, my mother would have a big dinner in the dining room, which was the only day of the week we would ever eat in the dining room. But then, strangely enough, Sunday night was always seemed to be a kind of a time for family, getting ready for the week, whatnot, and we could always set our clocks to the Lonely Hearts that we knew in the family. They would call us every Sunday night, and they weren't married, they didn't have kids, and I don't know if the room became too small for them, but I remember for some reason Sunday night became a very lonely time for people who didn't have extended family. And anyway, I thought I'd make those comments. I'll go ahead and listen offline.
Thanks. No, that's really interesting. You described the experience of, I think, thousands and millions of families in the Western world. Whether in England, whether in the U.S., you can see much of the same thing, that it's this great gathering day. Now, by going out to the meal on Sunday, attending the graves, that definitely, you know, gives away your Catholic heritage, I think. But I think the idea that Sunday night was a gathering time was true of all sorts of families, and it was a time just for family. And also the idea that Sunday was lonely. Some people dread Sunday because of that. I think some people dread Sunday because they feel alienated from others, especially if they don't have family, because Sunday is known as a family day. Some people dread Sunday because of the loss of routine from the week. They don't know what to do with their time. You know, now they have all this free time. And some people dread Sunday because it means that Monday's coming. they actually love Sunday, but they dread that Monday's coming. So you have all kinds of emotions around Sunday, and everybody seems to have images of it, just like you were telling your recollections. When people learned I was writing a book about Sunday, I had all kinds of them telling me their horror stories or their absolute delights about Sunday.
Oh, let's take another call. A listener in Urbana, line one. Hi.
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 My question is there any sense from your investigation and watching Sundays all this time, could you project as to whether it's going to be able to maintain its special day status and if that's in jeopardy in any way? I'll hang up and hear the answer.
Sure. Well, historians are not necessarily great predictors of the future, contrary to what a lot of people think. But I would say, having looked at Sunday, there have been so many centuries when people thought it was in danger. And so often you tend to think, whatever generation you live in, though, that this is the real danger. It's passed through so many times of being precarious. In the 19th century with the Industrial Revolution, many people worked all day Sunday, and people then said there's not going to be any more Sundays. That's why one of the chapters in the book, I describe a world without a Sunday, and especially during war. Because during war, there's no Sunday. During a seven-day work week, there's no Sunday. And so I don't see Sunday losing its special status. I think what will change is what that status means to different people and how people then choose to regard it. With the expansion of Sunday to the weekend, that began in the late 19th century, maybe Sunday's lost something of that, but I don't know. I don't see it changing that much in that regard.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Sunday during the Great War, the First World War?
Well, I describe it in Belgium because, again, that was the country that seemed to love Sunday so much. And so I wondered what would it be like if they had no Sunday. Because during war, every day seems the same. If you work every day seems the same. If you play every day seems the same. And so the Belgians really felt it, I think, when there was no Sunday during war. It was partly because the schedule changed. For soldiers, their routine was not 7 days. It was 4 days in the trenches, 4 days out. And so that's how they organized their schedule. For other people, it was more that the mood of Sunday had changed. War went on Sunday just like every other day, and so it often felt the same. Many of the old rituals were no longer engaged in. People did not go to cafes. They were not allowed to gather, and they were not allowed to sing. And moreover, there was social pressure not to sing because it was just too depressing of a time for many. So there were efforts to keep some of the old rituals that made Sunday seem different, but there just weren't enough of them. And Sundays were just as depressing as the other days for most people. I think for children, again, there were some who, to them, the war was kind of fun in some ways. You see movies about this, and you read novels about it, because they were naive to what was the bigger issues going on around them often. But so that's the overwhelming impression you get, though, is that Sunday just disappears, even as people try to keep some of the old rituals.
Yeah. There are so many fascinating things in the book, and since we've had a call about the future of Sunday here, maybe we can talk a little bit about an organization that you write about, the Lord's Day Observance Society. I found that interesting, and apparently there were other groups, other organizations, who made it their business to remind people that Sunday was to be, kept sacred.
Right.
And the Lord's Day Observance Society was a 19th century organization. That's when it was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And what were its arguments? This was very interesting to me. They used a variety of arguments to say we're right about this.
They insisted that Sunday went, so went the country. I mean, it was in England, and it was all linked, again, patriotism and Christianity were all linked together, as they often are in America. And so the idea was that if Sunday was bad, then the country would go bad. And there were lots of campaigns to make sure that workers had Sunday off, but also to make sure that there wasn't too much playing on Sunday. So they often resisted any efforts, for instance, to extend Sunday sports. Professional sports, but, people playing soccer on their own. There were lots of soccer leagues that wanted to, and there weren't enough grounds, and so to expand the availability of grounds, they had to expand the number of days, which meant going from Saturday into Sunday, and there was great resistance to that by the Lord's Day Observance Society. So that was their idea, to keep Sunday an English day. Again, the English Sunday tended to be stricter than the continental Sunday. And so it meant no games, no work, and so on.
Yeah, and they used science? They had scientific arguments?
Because you can always, they look for health benefits. They say if workers had a day off, they were more healthy and more productive. And in fact, they were probably right about that. But there were other ideas as well that, secular reasons as well, and not just religious reasons, but reasons that they hope other people would accept.
Mm. Looking around at the landscape, the Sunday landscape today in the United States, what does it say about us?
Well, one of the things I mentioned is that I think the way a society celebrates its holidays, its holy days, whatever you want to call them, they are the same word, by the way. They're not paradoxes. And the way they celebrate their Sundays reflect their values. And so if you look at American society, you see a lot of church going. I think that reflects one value. You see an awful lot of entertainment and commerce, which reflects the American values as well. And it's not just different people. It's not one set of people going to a church and another set of people going to the football game or going to the mall. It's often the same people who hold these ideas. So their values are often tied up with a work ethic, right? Which, if you're working 7 days a week, you're a hard worker. You're not necessarily a violator of the Sabbath. You're a hard worker. Sunday might be your day to shop with your family. That's also an important American value, to be with the family. And when shopping turned into an entertainment instead of a necessity, I think that said something as well. and sporting events, other kinds of entertainment. I think those reflect where Americans put their value.
Yeah. And any thoughts about what all this says about the spirituality of America and Americans?
It depends on how you define spirituality. Some people define it as going to church. Some people define it as not engaging in a list of activities. So I'm often reluctant. Mm-hmm. I think people have, especially in the mid-20th century, a lot of scholars were announcing the end of religion, you know, and the beginning of the secular world. And then recent scholars have shown over and over again this just isn't the case. What happens is spirituality and religion get redefined. So it's possible, for instance, to redefine spirituality in terms of a sporting event or in terms of some other enterprise that often wasn't regarded that way to begin with. So I think it has a lot to do with who's doing the defining of what spirituality is. Because you could say that, yes, you know, all the activity in America suggests a declining spirituality. But somebody else who's just as responsible could say it doesn't necessarily reflect declining spirituality at all. It depends the attitude that you take to a lot of these activities.
Yeah. And I would imagine that even today that there's a good bit of difference region to region in this country.
I think that's definitely true. There in the Midwest, I have an extensive bit about the development of the NFL and why that was perfectly acceptable, even on religious grounds, to people there. So it does depend on the region.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us this afternoon and spending some time with us this afternoon. Really fascinating topic. And the book is really very well done.
Well, thanks.
You're very welcome. Craig Harleen has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He's a professor of history at Brigham Young University. He is the author most recently of Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl. The publisher is Doubleday.